This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Jeremy Renner returns to Paramount Plus for a brand new season of the original hit series, Mayor of Kingstown.
My job is to create a balance, avoid a war.
From executive producer Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone.
There's some new players in town, and they brought the plague.
And Antoine Fuqua, director of Training Day.
I know it's always been a war zone, Mike, but this is next level.
The mayor is back in business.
Are you warning me?
You don't want to find out.
Mayor of Kingstown. New season streaming June 2nd, exclusively on Paramount Plus.
Hello, everyone, and welcome into the Go 24/7 podcast. Bryce Kuhn alongside Glenn West. We appreciate you if you're watching on YouTube or listening on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever that might be. Glenn, it's cold here in Baton Rouge. It's like actually pretty cold, and that signals that, hey, we're in the final month of the regular season, baby. It's November, and it's time for some big-time college football. You're braving. I think you're wearing a short-sleeve shirt. I had to put on a jacket. I'm a little cold still.
Short sleeve shirt, and I just had to change real quick. I was out walking the dog, but earlier this week I made the mistake on Monday. LSU basketball had a scrimmage at 6:30 at night, and I walked out in shorts. I was running a little late, and I was like, you know what? I'll tough it out. But after the game, holy smokes, I was freezing after the game. And I think it's the wind, really. The wind at night is what really gets you. When it's even when it's like 50 or something, it feels a lot colder when it's windy. So.
Well, I'm no meteorologist, but I went and looked at the weather for Saturday night in Tuscaloosa, and it looks like it's going to be a nice, crisp fall, autumn evening. I mean, gorgeous. Straight up football weather. So we'll take it. But hey, we got a big game on tap, man. I was previewing this game. Obviously, if you haven't already, want to check out the Behind Enemy Lines look on that podcast, you can just head up a little bit further up in the feed. And you can find that we recorded and put that out that yesterday.
It's a good one this week. That was a good one.
Glenn. When you look at this matchup, I mean, yeah, we're going to get into offense, defense on both sides of the football. But, man, every single year, and I know you've been around LSU a long time. I've been around the SEC for a long time. This game seemingly kind of kicks off the home stretch every single year and obviously has implications. And this season's no different, man. How excited are you to watch these two teams clash? Because it feels like for a while they've been on a collision course.
Yeah, being very excited. I think, you know, every season you come in thinking that this is going to be kind of the marquee matchup for LSU in terms of where they might finish in the SEC West, what the season might look like, and that's no different this year. I mean, we just got off the SEC teleconference with Nick Saban, and he basically said the same thing. This is a primetime matchup for a reason because it has serious implications on the SEC West battle and just kind of which team could be representing the Western Division here, the final year of the Western Division. We could throw that in too. So, who's going to be representing that division in the West in Atlanta for the last year? It's going to be an interesting matchup. I really like a lot of the things that LSU's done recently, but I'm sure we'll get into it here in a minute. There's some concerns too. So I like the matchup. I like the fact that you're playing for something at this time of year. I mean, I think when you lost to Ole Miss a couple weeks ago, you were, if you were an LSU fan, you were definitely thinking this season might not be going the way we want it. But, here you are 3-4 weeks later, sitting at 6-2 in a very similar position to where you were last year. LSU and Alabama were number 6 and number 10 at this time last year. Alabama was number 6, LSU was number 10, and this year it's 8-13. So, I mean, it's a little bit lower, but still a lot of your season goals are within reach. You might need a little bit of help to get to some of the big ones, but a lot of these goals, I think, are still attainable, and it starts, obviously, with this stretch run and this weekend in Tuscaloosa.
And it all starts this weekend, the first weekend in November, which I'll remind you, Glenn, we're almost a year to the date of my first ever trip to Baton Rouge. I was in Baton Rouge this time last year getting ready. Yeah. Man, it's flown by. It's flown by. And this Saturday, too, If you want to watch good college football, you're going to have a game with a massive SEC East implications in Georgia against Missouri at 3:30 in that kickoff Eastern time. And then you've got LSU-Alabama. You can't really – I mean, don't even leave the couch in the afternoon and into the evening because it's going to be some really, really good football. But, Glenn, obviously I want to start here because this is something where we talk about the biggest questions. And so I'll pose it here. Bama's offense against LSU's defense. Glenn, I've offered the question on our board. To me, it's – whose weakness is a little too much for them to overcome in this game? We know Alabama's been trending the right way, and you know Cody Goodwin did a great job on the podcast kind of talking about some of the reasons that they have done and feel more comfortable. LSU's defense, man, there's obviously a there's a lot of concerns. We could break them all down, but I mean the biggest one, the most glaring, is the amount of young, inexperienced cornerbacks or converted corners that are going to have to play a role in this game against an Alabama receiving corps that loves to go for the deep ball and loves to make explosive plays.
Yeah, they like to get vertical on you. That's definitely something I picked up on just watching some of their games and film, especially the last couple of weeks. I mean, Jalen Milroe has really settled in as their quarterback. I think he's done a nice job of just being more composed and a little bit more sure of what he's doing as opposed to earlier in the year when he was kind of, is he going to be the quarterback? Is he not going to be the quarterback? I think now that they've kind of settled that dispute, the offense is looking a lot better for Alabama. But to your point, I mean, the biggest weakness here, at least in terms of just what you don't know, is LSU secondary. I mean, that's the biggest question mark right now. Don't have to bury that lead. I mean, they're going to be relying on not only Sage Ryan, who's really just coming into his own at the position. I mean, he's been a safety and nickel corner his entire career. Now they've gotten him out on the boundary, and he had some good moments. He's had some good moments against Auburn, and don't know how much you can take away from the Army game with him out there. But, I think that certainly this last week, and something that you kind of dove into a little bit here this morning, was just getting the communication up with some of these guys. I mean, not only Sage Ryan, you know, being new to the position, but you're going to be relying on Jeremiah Hughes and Ashton Stamps and Javian Toviano, all true freshmen. LaTerrence Welch is a sophomore, a second-year player who hasn't seen the field all that much, especially since that Ole Miss game. So, there's a lot here. I mean, I do think that, you know, probably one of the biggest strengths that LSU has in this game is that Alabama's offensive line has not been all that consistent this year. I think that's going to be where LSU is going to have to win this game. They're going to have to make Jalen Milroe uncomfortable. They're going to have to force him to make some difficult throws. And they're going to have to be relentless in their pressure and be gap sound in the run game. So they've got to do everything they can to help out this secondary as much as possible, particularly at the cornerback spot, because like you mentioned, they do like to go deep with some of these guys at receiver. And it's going to be very, very interesting to see just kind of the cat and mouse game that LSU plays up front. We can get into a little bit more about personnel and what it all looks like here in a minute, but just kind of overview thoughts. I think this game's going to have to be won up front from LSU along the defensive line, and hope that those guys are up to the task to get some pressure on Milroe and clog some of those running lanes.
Yeah, I mentioned this on the Behind Enemy Lines podcast. It feels like when you watch Alabama, when Jermaine Burton, their wideout, gets going, it's really, really hard to stop him and what he and Milroe like to do. So that's going to be something key. You mentioned up front, Glenn, some of the tough news for LSU fans was that Mekhi Wingo is going to miss an extended amount of time, at least 6 weeks, which would put him out through the rest of the regular season. But in Mekhi Wingo fashion, he took to Twitter and said, "Hey, I'll be back for the playoff." And that just speaks volumes about the character of this kid and the determination that he has. And Mekhi Wingo, I think, a fan favorite, a media favorite as well, to be able to have conversations with that young man. But Glenn, one of kind of the stories that we've talked a little bit about over the course of this season, but maybe not a ton, is this depth up front that they have. I mean, it's so much better than what it was last year. And I think that when you see what these – you can't replace 18. Greg Penn said that. That's not going to be something that you can just straight up replace 18 on the field. But, man, they've got some dudes. George Jefferson's a big one. Paris Shand had a really good performance over the – heading into that bye week. So – how comfortable do you feel with this front seven being able to do what they want to do without 18 there in the middle? And then I obviously got to say, it feels like big number zero is due for a big performance against his first time ever playing Alabama.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think that they have enough talent to be able to overcome a loss like Mekhi Wingo. You mentioned it there in the offset. You don't fully, replace somebody like that who's meant so much to you, not only on the field, but as a leader in the locker room as well. And I'm sure he'll be around still. I mean, I'm sure he'll be able to get his message across, but certainly not having him out on the field to be kind of that organizer up front and being mm-hmm. the disruptor that he's been for most of the year is going to be a bitter pill to swallow. But like you mentioned, Jordan Jefferson is, I think, coming along pretty well. Big talking point from Brian Kelly and from players this week has been about the growth that he's had. One of the strongest players on the team, and that carries over into the production we're seeing on the field right now. I like a lot of what Parrish Shan has been doing. Braden Swinson, I think, coming off the edge has really shown you that he can be a pretty reliable source in terms of getting pressure on the quarterback. And then, yeah, like you mentioned, Mason Smith's going to have to show up. I mean, he's the guy now. I mean, we asked him a little bit about Mason Smith. Greg Penn and Omar Spates were our two defensive players we got to talk to yesterday, and they basically just said, look, I mean, he's been working himself back into game shape. It's taken a little bit longer than I think he probably would have liked, but you saw some flashes against Auburn. You saw some flashes against Army. He's up to, I believe, 3 tackles for a loss now. He's got a sack that he picked up either last week or the week before. He's broken up a couple passes at the line of scrimmage. I mean, he's been a little bit more active the last couple weeks than he was when he first got back from injury. And so now you're hoping that, having the bye week and having some more time to really focus in on getting your body right and making sure that you're as healthy as possible for this game. I would expect Mason Smith to come out and make an impact. I mean, I don't know that he's going to be a 2-sack, 3-force fumble kind of game. I mean, I think that would be probably a little bit, too out there, but I do think that he can get some pressure on the middle. I think he can help shut down some of those run lanes. I mean, the one thing Alabama hasn't done a whole ton of this year is run the ball consistently. I mean, this has always been a team that's produced some great running backs, and Jace McClellan has been a really solid source. He's, I think, 6th right now in rushing yards, but as a team, they're really only averaging about 3.75 yards a carry right now. So the one thing you can't do is let them get the run game going early, because that's what they're going to look to do. They're going to try to get the run game going, make you bring some guys up front and into the box and kind of force you to go one-on-one and man coverage in the secondary. And that's when they like to take their shots. So, doing a good job and being gap sound, finishing off plays and tackling is going to be a real, real big key for the defensive front 7 here. And I think that there are a lot of guys that can certainly make an impact. I mean, Ovia Gofu is another guy. His speed's going to be really counted on, I think, in this game off the edge. We'll be very interested to see, obviously, how Harold Perkins works into the game plan here. Does LSU like to bring him in on 3rd down? Do they like to drop him in coverage to give the secondary some help? I mean, there's a lot of different ways I think that he can be useful in this game as well. So, you're going to have a full team effort on the defensive side of the ball. And I'll be very interested to see just kind of the impact that the front 7 can have on this game, and if they're able to rattle Milroe a little bit and shut down some of those running lanes.
So we kind of wrap it up here with this battle between Alabama's offense and LSU's defense. Wanted to point this out to Cody Goodwin over at Bama 24/7. He let me know before and after the show. He said, look, the one thing that Alabama has struggled with is when Milroe is a guy that, look, he will fall into some sacks. He will work his way into some sacks. The pocket awareness is still something he's growing as a young quarterback. And one thing teams have had success, Ole Miss did at times, Arkansas did a really good job of this, was they spied him and didn't let him, get outside the pocket. With the needs, and you can talk a little bit about this or we can move on, I think with the needs that you have on the back end, we've seen Harold Perkins kind of be a Swiss Army knife, playing a little bit of nickel at times for this team. If you get in a 3rd and long situation and you need Perkins back there in coverage, where he is the highest graded linebacker in the SEC per PFF, I think it could be a situation where if you need a guy with speed, a guy that can really tackle well in open space, that could be maybe some situations where you see a guy like Whit Weeks come onto the field in place of a Greg Penn or in place of an Omar Spates to really mirror what Milroe wants to do. Now, obviously, those two guys have veteran pieces, but Kelly likes what Weeks is. I don't think we've seen the last of Whit Weeks in big-time moments. Any thoughts on that of a personnel thing?
Yeah, I mentioned this, I think, in a piece earlier this week, that is this going to be kind of more of a Greg or more of an Omar Spates, Whit Weeks kind of game for that exact reason. I mean, Whit Weeks gives you another athlete that you can throw out on the field on third downs. I mean, I think he should absolutely be a part of the rotation. And certainly we know what Brian Kelly has said about what Omar Spates can help them do in the run game. So I don't see his role diminishing a whole ton. But that means you got to take Greg Penn off the field, and they've they've done a really nice job when Greg Penn's been out there. I just feel like this is going to be this is always a matchup where it's your athletes against our athletes, and let's see who wins. And I think that Whit Weeks is certainly one of the better athletes on the field or on the LSU defense. And you know, look, I kind of go back and forth on this because Brian Kelly was asked on Wednesday about just kind of what the potential would be for Harold Perkins to be a spy in this game, and what would they have to change anything defensively? And he said, no, they've settled into a defensive scheme that they trust. And when they're thinking about bringing Harold off the edge, it's usually been on third downs. It's usually been when he can pin his ears back and really try to disrupt, and finish off a drive and get LSU's defense off the field. So I do think that they're going to be able to still bring Harold Perkins in on third down. Which is why I think maybe that they'll keep Penn out there for some of that work and have him drop in coverage with Spates. But yeah, I like the fact that they're not going to be changing things up this weekend, despite being low on bodies in the secondary. They've got to stick to what they've been doing, and they've shown some strides, the last couple of weeks, but this is obviously going to be a different level up, and it'll be very interesting to watch just kind of how all those guys kind of make an impact in this game.
Well, on a side of the ball where it might feel like there's a perceived weakness with these two units going at it, Glenn, it takes us over to Alabama's defense and LSU's offense. Feeling like this is two Goliaths about to go at it. I mean, look, for all the struggles that Alabama has had this season, it's still a really, really good defense. They still have some NFL talent back there. And as I was looking more into this, man, that secondary, it's going to be fun. Like, this is going to be a matchup where you see NFL-type talent on both sides of the football at the receiver position for LSU, at the secondary position. I mean, you have guys like Kool-Aid McKinstry, Terrion Arnold, Caleb Downs, a true freshman that is really just seamlessly, acclimated into this Alabama defense. Going against Malik Nabers, Brian Thomas, Kyron Lacy, Mason Taylor, all of these names. Glenn, I know you were there in 2019 where there was a lot of NFL talent on the field, and you showed me those numbers earlier this season, man. But this has an opportunity to be one of those matchups where you look back a couple years down the road and you say, wow, look at all the NFL talent that was on the field that night in Tuscaloosa. Overall, how are you feeling about this matchup?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a really fun one to watch. I mean, look, you mentioned the secondary there. Malachi Moore is another name you could throw in there. He's made a lot of plays around the line of scrimmage this year already. So they have a very, very elite secondary this year. And I've been extremely impressed with Downs coming in as a true freshman and having the impact that he's had on this defense. You mentioned McKinstry. I think this is going to come down to just –
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The hit Paramount Plus original docuseries returns.
The last time I saw Max, he looked at us laughing, and then everything changed in a blink of an eye.
My feeling as a detective is that he was murdered.
Yahoo Entertainment calls it a spine-chilling docuseries showcasing real-life tragedies.
What if it was your child who went missing?
We need to know the truth.
Never seen again. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
can LSU's offense continue to have the efficiency and the level of success that it's shown the last 7 weeks? I mean, this is going to be the most stiff competition they've faced since Florida State. And I think that honestly, it's probably a more collectively, it's probably a better unit than Florida State's even. I mean, I don't think Alabama has that standout elite pass rusher this year. I think that's probably the one area where LSU might be able to have an advantage, or it is one area of a few that I think LSU could have an advantage in terms of the run game and being able to open some things up that way. I think the fact that you only gave Logan Diggs, what, 6 carries against Army, and you were able to give him really 2 full weeks of just kind of getting rested and kind of getting his body right for this matchup, because he was obviously a guy that was having a high usage rate there for about 3 or 4 weeks in a row. So I think, you know, having him as full go as possible is going to be a really big asset for LSU in this game. You mentioned 2019. The biggest X factor in that game was the running back, was Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and how they were able to use him in 19. And I could certainly see a situation where Diggs is in that similar kind of role where he can make an impact in this game. So I think that, you know, in terms of just what you've seen from Jaden Daniels, like this dude is operating at another level right now. He's doing things that I don't think many of us, even with the highest of expectations coming into the year, thought that he was capable of doing. I mean, he's hitting these receivers in stride. They're being able to move them a lot in these pre-snap motions and keep defenses on their toes. That was something that Mason Taylor talked a bunch about yesterday. And you know, I do think that the way that they've been able to move around a guy like Malik Nabers has really opened up his game, and you know, they're not just using him outside. They're going to be able to move him into the slot. They're going to be able to get him in different one-on-one matchups, not just with McKinstry or some of the other you know, elite players that they have, Arnold. You know, they're going to be able to mix him around a little bit, and I think really open up the offense. I'll be very interested to see how much Jaden uses his legs in this game. I mean, he used them a lot last year. He had 95 yards on the ground last year. And you can make the argument that he's only gotten more lethal with that weapon because of the fact that he's throwing the ball so well that defenses have to respect that he could go deep on him at any time. How he scrambles, how he's able to pick up, you know, big chunk yards, maybe when things are broken downfield. That's going to be a huge, huge asset for LSU because, I mean, Alabama's secondary is legit. They're going to win some matchups. They're going to cover things up pretty well. But the fact that Daniels has that second gear, that second level with his speed and with his athleticism, I think is where LSU is really going to be able to win in this game and be able to keep themselves on the field and move the ball pretty efficiently.
Yeah, you mentioned obviously what they have up front. I mean, it's still a stout Alabama defensive front. I agree, the best one that they're going to see since Florida State. You got Chris Braswell at that Jack linebacker position for the Crimson Tide that is, you know, kind of a, I would say 1B to what they have in Dallas Turner. I think it's going to be, you know, some of the biggest news that I think kind of went unheralded on Monday was the fact that Emory Jones is healthy. And, you know, that's huge for this game. And not that there's not confidence in Zalance Hurd. I just think when you have a guy that, you know, in Zalance Hurd that maybe not fine-tuned everything, and now he's got to go on the road. Look, LSU did it last year with 2 freshman tackles, but you don't want to play with that situation too much, you know, and get bit by it. But, man, you know, the battle in the trenches is going to be something that I'm really excited to watch because this is a chance where we have seen, you know, guys like Charles Turner have told us, hey, we relish opportunities like this, like where we think, where they think they've got a really good front 7. We think we're really good up front. And, you know, we just get to get in this opportunity where we get to kind of, you know, just lock heads and let's go. And I think that's going to be something exciting to watch as well. Offensively and defensively in this matchup, this is strength on strength. Statistically, you have, you know, probably, and I think it is statistically in points scored, the best offense in the country in LSU. And Alabama, while it might not be the best defense, it's up there, top 10, top 5 of what they really want to be able to do. So this is strength on strength, Glenn. That being said, we get to our final thoughts here, and I'll ask you this, and you can take it wherever you want. What you mentioned Logan Diggs, and I love that key to an LSU victory. What maybe are some other things that – matchups that have to be won, maybe, and we're going to hit on this later in the week, maybe numbers that need to be hit. What's something for that you're going to be watching to say, hey, if this happens, LSU's got a real good shot there on Saturday night?
Yeah, there are two big keys for me on the defensive side of the ball for LSU that they have to really strive for. And, you know, one of them is not going to be known until we get to the actual game. But can they figure out a way to get off the field 4-5 times? Can they force a punt? Can they force a long field goal? Can they create a turnover maybe? Alabama's going to win some. I mean, they're going to be able to hit a couple shots. I think that they're definitely going to have some success against the LSU secondary. I mean, it's a very young secondary. It's very inexperienced. They're going to have some wins. Where LSU's going to have to win this game defensively is not only up front, but they're going to have to limit the amount of possessions Alabama gets, which is going to come back to how efficiently you run your offense and how able you're able to kind of consistently score on that end. But then also it's going to be about, can you limit Alabama when they make those big explosive plays? Can you make the tackles and hold them to field goal attempts? I think that's going to be a huge, huge key here is when Alabama makes a run, when they get downfield, when the field shortens, can LSU get enough stops to force field goals and not touchdowns? And I think if you get into a situation here where LSU forces, you know, 2 or 3, 4 field goals, that's a win for LSU in my book. I mean, Alabama will score 3 or 4 touchdowns, I'm sure of it. But if you can make sure that those other scoring possessions end in 3 points and not 7, that gives your offense a lot more confidence and momentum that they can kind of get the job done on the other end and put up that 35, 40 spot, whatever it is that you think that that they can get to in this game. So that's what I'm going to be looking for is how many times do they need to get off the field to give their offense a chance? And then when they do make those big plays, not only just finishing them off and making the tackles, but once that field shortens, holding them to field goals and not touchdowns, that's going to be something that if LSU is able to do a couple times, 3 times, 4 times, maybe, I think LSU is going to like their chances here. And I think that, you know, I've kind of gone back and forth on this all week long, probably change my tune again. I don't know that it's going to be enough for in terms of defensive stops for LSU's offense to be able to keep up with what Alabama's going to do. I think right now I'm probably leaning more towards this being a, you know, 42-38 kind of shootout between the two offenses. And really, I think whoever gets the ball in the fourth quarter with some time left on the clock, if they're able to kind of whittle it down and get a final score there before the end of the game, I think that's probably where I see this game heading. I think it's going to be a close, tight-knit matchup. I think you're going to see a lot of these stars play to their potential and capabilities, and you're going to see some really, really good things from LSU. But I just don't know that it's going to be enough when you factor in just how depleted and inexperienced they are in the secondary, and if they're going to be able to make some of those plays that warrant field goal attempts and not touchdowns. I mean, that's going to be a big thing for me that I'm watching.
Yeah, I'll even one up you here as I kind of give that. I think ever since that Missouri game when Major Burns had the pick six, that was something that LSU really didn't do a lot of defensively, taking the ball away. I think in a game like this, when you have a defense that is suspect, I mean, look, we can sit there and we can say, you know, hey, we got confidence, we got all this type of stuff, he's got talent. The fact of the matter is that this is a young, inexperienced group, and it's really hard to see them have a lot of success on the road in Tuscaloosa. That's just something that I think is a really hard thing. You'd love to say it's going to happen. I don't know if it is. That being said, when you have a defense like this, a lot of times they're predicated on being very prone to having success when they win the turnover margin. I think if LSU can do that, if they can force Milroe into some bad decisions, if that front seven can force a turnover or two, I mean, you know, you talk a lot of time about coverage sacks, like how many coverage sacks could this group get? I mean, that type of thing. How much can they work all 11 together and be able to force some turnovers? Because it kind of goes into what you were saying there. Can we force them into 3 points, or, hey, what if we get a turnover and it's not a scoring drive? You know, I think that's going to be something that we really have to see out of this group. It's going to be a key. I do feel comfortable saying that LSU's offense is going to be able to get what they need to get. I think Alabama's defense is really, really good. I just think this LSU offense is also really, really good.
Let me ask you this.
Go ahead. Yeah.
You tell Brian Kelly before the game, defense is going to give up 35 points. Is that enough? Is that enough for LSU's offense to do what it needs to do to win the game?
Glenn, I kind of think so. I kind of think so. I think if you can sit around that 35-point margin, because if I'm not mistaken, the only game LSU has lost outside, they lost Ole Miss, obviously scoring how many points they did, but that was
49.
Yeah. Yeah, it's ridiculous. The Florida State game, though, they did not surpass 35 points. So I think, like, when you look, it's that's kind of been the outlier, that Ole Miss game. But other than that, I mean, I think if the defense gives up 35, you have to feel good about your chances winning this football game, because
I think
you
so
know,
too.
I agree with you there. I like that. That's a good key right there. 35 points. If your defense can give up 35 points, which sounds crazy when you talk about LSU defenses and fans are listening to this and thinking of the defenses of LSU's past and the history of the Alabama LSU rivalry. Man, that's crazy. But no, it's gonna be a fun one.
I think Brian Kelly would take that in a heartbeat, the way that this offense is rolling right now. I think to your point, like, you know, Milroe's gonna run himself into a couple of bad situations, and it's just going to be about, can LSU make those plays, whether it's a big sack to force a field goal, whether it's a sack or a fumble or something to kind of turn momentum of the field. And I think that there's going to be some opportunities throughout the game for LSU's defense to get off the field. Will they make the plays is going to be the big question to me. And I just don't have a good feel for that right now when you consider where the secondary is at, where, you know, a lot of these players are going to be tasked with doing these things. But, you know, one of the questions I had yesterday was also, like, how much do you think that it's fueling some of these young guys who haven't seen a whole lot of opportunity to, you know, go out there and prove everybody wrong? And I think all the defensive players we talked to yesterday said that they're chomping at the bit. They're confident. They're ready. And they've been preparing since, obviously, the bye week, when they learned that they probably wouldn't have Alexander or Chestnut or Denver Harris. So, like, they're doing the things that they're supposed to be doing. They're getting the reps. They're preparing well. They're communicating, it sounds like. And we'll just see if that all translates onto the field on Saturday.
6:45 Central, I believe, is when they're going to schedule kickoff. We'll see if that stands, obviously, depending on what happens. You got to love TV times. Glenn, it's going to be a fun one. Tuscaloosa is going to be a great one. We hope all of you will join in on the coverage that we have going on the rest of the week over at Go247. Make sure to subscribe to the YouTube page. Check out the podcast feed on Spotify, Apple. Maybe you're listening to this on the drive-in from Baton Rouge over to Tuscaloosa. We appreciate you listening as well. My name's Bryce Kuhn. That is Glenn West. We'll have coverage from Tuscaloosa this weekend, and then we'll wrap it all up again, Glenn. Hopefully it's not as somber as the post game against Florida State at the beginning of the season, man. Hopefully we can have a fun one to talk about on Saturday evening.
Yeah, I don't know. That was also just a really foggy night. Do you remember that? How foggy maybe it was in the background?
It was weird. I went and looked at the video the other day, and I was like,
that game,
it felt like Halloweenish in September.
Yeah.
It was really weird. Really weird. So, hey, that's a lot of fun. Bryce Kuhn, Glenn West, thanks so much for tuning into the Go247 podcast. We'll catch you next time. Make sure to enjoy your trip to Tuscaloosa, and we'll see if LSU can take down Alabama for a second straight year.
New CBS Monday. NCIS is back.
We need all hands on deck.
So grab your gear.
NCIS!
And join our elite team.
What are the charges?
Murder.
New cases to be solved.
Double tap to the chest.
Same caliber as the murder weapon.
And new criminals to catch.
That's the bomb maker. Where's the bomb?
New NCIS, Monday, 9/8 Central, on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.